Good morning.
Hi, Life.
How shall we proceed, my friend?
A lot to discuss.
Excellent.
So one thing I wanted to share with you, which I had already shared with some of the forum members, was, if you recall, a number of years ago, I was asking you about how I could draw a fox to my house.
Yes.
And what I didn't mention at the time, but I was also thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I could get a picture of this fox and share it with, you know, the forum members too as evidence? Well, in August, I believe it was, I actually ended up drawing a coyote cub to sit in the middle of my lawn where I got a fantastic picture of him. And coyote cubs, or coyotes themselves, would be much rarer than even foxes in this area. I've never seen one. You know, I'm in a suburban, busy area in New Jersey, surrounded by highways. You know, besides my street is quiet, there's highways all around in the distance. And so I ended up getting that picture and everything laid out, and it was just a great example of, you know, two takeaways that I took from it. One was that the intention is still in action, even if you don't see it.
Yes. Excellent.
And two, you can have the intention be received in a way that is different than what you expected, but satisfies what you wanted.
Precisely. Precisely. Which I have expressed many times with individuals, that your intention is set and moves in the direction to be creating what you want, but it may not be in that precise form. It may be different, but it will be equally satisfying.
And I knew immediately once it happened that it was directly connected to that intention, because I could feel that satisfaction, that it was a rare, you know, something that you could point it to as an example that that does not usually happen.
Correct. Correct. Congratulations.
Thank you. And the other interesting thing about it was that I had to be there to take the picture, meaning for all I know, I could have been drawing a plethora of foxes and coyotes over the last few years, but I never went out to the front of my yard. But that day I had the desire, the urge, or the impulse to do some weeding in my front yard, which I had not done or had that, you know, same impulse in years.
And, of course, there are no accidents or coincidences.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was also another cool part of it, is that just seeing that play out.
Excellent. I would say congratulations, my friend. That is tremendous.
Thank you.
And the factor that you understood what you created, what you presented to yourself, and that you could acknowledge it, is tremendous in itself.
It's actually been, it's one of those things that, as the time, like immediately I noticed it, but I didn't, the significance of it has increased for me over time, the meaning of it.
Yes. Because you are processing layers of the experience, and in that, recognizing all of the different components in that you actually were participating, you created that, but that you did it in a manner in which you would be aware of what you were doing, and in that, showing yourself all of these different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
how your impressions are functioning, how your intuition is functioning, how your impulses are functioning in capacities that motivate you, that move you in certain directions to accomplish in certain manners.
Right. And so the other piece...
entire process, but you see it in pieces.
Right. So the one of the big topics for today is that I've really been becoming more aware of my association.
What association?
That is active within me, that is motivating whatever I'm doing. So it started out with, I decided to do this process of what I would call neutralizing painful associations or things that I didn't like. And so I'd bring up the different parts of my life into my, I would think about it and hold that in my mind while at the same time being aware of what held energy is in my chest and stomach area. And I would just gently coax that out, just allowing that to leave while maintaining an open awareness state. And what I found was that as I do that, I can reduce the effectiveness of those associations. And each time I bring them up, they're less, that charge is less, and they move more towards a neutral state.
Excellent. I would be tremendously acknowledging of you, my friend. Now, what would you say in relation to your success with that?
It's something that needs to be repeated, meaning if you have been reinforcing that this is something is bad or wrong for years, you know, I don't think it's going to dissolve within one day, that effectiveness, but it leads to a tremendous increase in flexibility in choice.
Correct.
It also leads me to notice, as I gain more awareness of these affecting associations, of what is motivating my behavior in other areas. And an example would be, I've really experienced a tremendous increase in my ability to apply choice in all different situations, whether it's ability to bring up and appreciate someone or something about someone I'm speaking with in different scenarios and stuff like that. But at the same time, I also have noticed, or what I'm starting to notice, is that a lot of that motivation behind that is still moving in a direction of hoping to fix something.
Ah, how so?
Well, one of the goals behind me exploring this whole direction is that I'm going to create what I want. I'm going to fix the things I don't like.
But what I am asking you in this moment would be, how would you express that or identify that in relation to, let us say, as you were expressing the example, you are interacting with someone and you are intentionally thinking about appreciating and moving in a direction of pulling up specific feelings in association with fixing. How do you identify that?
The fixing would be the drive behind it, meaning there's a more genuine recognition and enjoyment of a particular, aspect of an individual. But if I'm doing it because I want to maintain my energy in a certain direction so that it will fix something in my life, there could be a little bit of a force to it. A little bit of where I'm trying to control.
And you can feel that if you are paying attention.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've noticed a lot of other more subtle areas of where control applies, particularly with other individuals, like where I want to control how my wife, you know, how we interact. And so I will do certain things through the day to try to influence that. And so seeing that and, you know, being able to let that go.
That is considerably significant. Because I would say that this is an action that is tremendously common with people.
Mm.
Whether it is with their partner or with a friend or with a family member or a boss or a coworker, this is an action that is very, very common, that especially once you have established a time framework with another individual and you assess that you have also established a certain type of a relationship with them and that you know them relatively well, then it becomes very easy and very automatic to anticipate what another individual likes or dislikes, or what direction they move in relation to certain subjects, certain situations, certain expressions, and therefore anticipating that and adjusting your behavior in anticipation of that and in accommodation with it, such as a very simple hypothetical example with a partner. If your partner is working during the day and you are home and you know that if you do certain actions, if you are engaging tidying the house in a certain manner,
mm-hmm.
or if you are engaging certain actions that the other individual generally responds to in a positive manner, you adjust your day, you adjust your behavior to accommodate the other individual's behavior to influence their responses.
Right, and it's just another attempt at control.
Correct. Correct.
So that's one of the other things is, you know, reminding myself to just let go of trying to control. Just do what I want to do because, you know, I have my own reasons.
In many, if not most situations, when you are paying more attention to yourself and when you are, as you express, doing what you want to do and being responsible to you, you generally will be engaging actions that will be positive in relation to other individuals also anyway.
Right.
Without thinking about it, without planning it, and without having to adjust your behavior to accommodate someone else.
Right. Because your reflection will be Because your energy is different, so your reflection will be different.
Precisely. Excellent, my friend. I would express that that is tremendous. That is a tremendous accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
So the association piece. I had another example of a situation that I believe I created it intentionally just specifically for this purpose of kind of what we're doing here. But let me explain it. I'll take away, and then I'll tell you what I learned from it, which was, so I have a cat, and it's an indoor cat. It doesn't go outside. It's generally a timid cat. But she also likes to go into certain crawl spaces, like we have a space above our ceiling in our basement where I can't see everything up there, but she likes to get up there. Well, one day she disappeared for a number of hours in behavior that was very much unlike her, didn't show up for eating time. And so I was looking for her all around the house, and I had seen her go into the space above the ceiling in the basement, and I started getting concerned. And not only concerned about the cat, but I started feeling guilty because I was worried that maybe she got caught up with something electrical. Maybe she got stuck in a crawl space behind a wall or something, you know, who knows what she could get into. And so then I was worried that maybe she's in a very difficult spot. And so I was looking throughout the house, and then I recognized what I was doing. I'm like, well, these are the associations. This is what I'm assuming, right? This is what I'm holding in my mind and my energy, this concern, this whatever. And so I said, all right, I'm going to stop that. And I'm going to change my association from her being lost to that she's fine. I don't know where she is, but she's fine. That's what the association I'm going to hold in mind. And so I still looked around a little bit, but I didn't worry about it. The next morning, I woke up, and I was still wondering where she was, but I calmed myself, and my energy was completely much more relaxed. And then I remembered something that I totally forgot the night before. It never occurred to me that there was a brief period where I had our garage door open when I wasn't watching it, and that the door that connects our garage to our kitchen, that door or doesn't always stay closed. You have to close it carefully, otherwise the wind can push it open. And so then I thought, well, maybe during that period she actually got outside. And then that, as I thought of that, that made much more sense to me, because otherwise I would have heard some sound throughout the house if she was stuck. And I just went with that, and I said, she's fine, we're going to come across it, it's fine. And again, not just repeating the thoughts, but I know how that I can hold that association in my chest as well. And, you know, a few hours later, she showed up and was fine outside.
Acting to the feeling of it.
Right. And so it all played out that way. And the other part of it was I remembered that night that this was going to be, I got the impression that this was going to be a learning example for me. About, and the reason it was a learning example is because the panic at the lost cat, right, the concern, all those associations were new. So they're very easy to see. Unlike your common day-to-day associations that drive your life, you've been holding to those for years, they're much harder to see. But this was an easy example to work with, to adopt a new energy, right, towards a situation and see how it plays out. And I recognize that is an example of, again, how to approach other things in your life that aren't necessarily the way you want them to be.
Excellent. Yes. And I would also acknowledge that was an excellent idea and example for you, in that you recognize this as a new association, therefore it is easy to use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I would say congratulations. That is tremendous.
Thank you. Yeah, in the regular day-to-day life of the usual concerns, it's much easier to get sidetracked with the, again, trying to fix direction when you've been doing that for years.
Now, that scenario, that also would be an excellent example. How would you say, if you were looking at this same scenario, what would you say would have been an automatic direction to fix that?
Well, even holding on to the association, I don't have a job. I lack a job. That's what I'm reinforcing.
Yes.
And so it doesn't even have to be a major, but if that's what I'm holding in mind as I do things throughout the day, that's not a helpful energy.
Very much so, I agree. And in that, what would be an example in either of those subjects of you having an association or moving in a direction in which you are attempting to fix it automatically?
Well, that could be getting worried, getting concerned, anticipating problems,
Now, the reason I'm asking this is, once again, because I am very aware that you share our conversations with other individuals, and I would express that many individuals listening or reading that response will be confused. I understand what you are expressing, and I acknowledge you, but explain how being concerned or being worried is expressing an energy of fixing.
It's because that's what I believe in the moment, is that I'm lacking something, and that's what I'm expressing. And it's like the moment itself, right? I'm sitting in my house. Everything's fine. The evidence that is available directly to my senses doesn't state one way or another about a job. And so I am looking for evidence that supports the belief that I don't have a job and reinforcing that. But I have the option to do the other way.
Correct. Now let me express in an explanation that will illustrate how that translates into the action or the idea of fixing. Because most individuals will express the response of, if you are worrying about something, that isn't fixing it. Or if you are concerned about something, that isn't fixing it. And you aren't thinking of a solution, therefore that isn't fixing it. But in actuality, that energy, that mindset, so to speak, of being concerned, of worrying about the situation with a job, with a cat, any of those situations, you don't have to be thinking about a solution. That energy of worrying and being concerned influences your behavior.
Right.
Therefore, by extension, then you would be more likely to be doing some actions that we were discussing previously in this conversation, such as anticipating what your partner would like or what would create a positive response in your partner when she returns home from work or when she returns home from visiting a friend? How can you be more productive and helpful in relation to interacting with your children or engaging something in the house or around the house? In this, you won't think about it, but your behavior is being influenced to do certain actions that compensate for that worry or that concern. Therefore, you are moving in a fix-it direction.
Right. You're holding to that association I don't have.
Yes. And therefore, I should do something else
right,
that will compensate for that and
right.
make it better.
And so that's the part where I'm at right now, is that attempting to take that example of the cat and how we got to the solution, you know, via a different way with a different energy and trying to apply that to the other things in my life.
That is tremendous. That is excellent, my friend. I would be very encouraging of you with that, because it can be applied in other directions. And this is the wondrous piece about what you do, is that everything is interconnected. Therefore, when you move in a direction that is successful, it can be applied in any direction. Which also holds in the reverse, but you do that automatically. And now it is a matter of learning how to do the intentional automatically.
Right. And one of the things when I notice, like with the appreciation, is I have a, it's very easy for me to move in directions of applying this information while holding to that association I don't have.
Yes. And that in itself, my friend, is an accomplishment. Recognize that, to see that, because I would say that most people don't that, and they do it very frequently.
But I don't think there's a way, I'm not sure that there's a way around it. Like for myself, I wouldn't say that my movement through this is bad at all. In fact, I greatly appreciate my ability and flexibility with my attention and choices. And only maybe, you know, I would have never even gotten to the point of being able to see that underlying association without making that movement to begin with.
Correct. I understand. And that is a significant piece, is that is the piece of moving certain information from concept into reality, and you do that through experience.
Right. And so, you know, I can come up with evidence that I have, you know, anything. Like I could use that coyote cub as an example of how my intention is always working, even if I can't see it, and use that as evidence to support, you know, other directions that I want to move in.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yes. And it also is tremendous that you noted and realized that when you set an intention, it isn't, in your terms, a one-time expression. It isn't that you do that and either present something to yourself immediately or it isn't successful.
Mm.
That black and white. Every intention that you express is in process and remains so. And actually will be manifesting over and over and over and over and over again until you notice it.
Like that discussion of what, you know, me saying I could have been drawing anything out front, but I wasn't outside to see it.
Precisely. And that is the point. Is the reason that I have expressed to individuals an alteration of how you draw to yourself, that individuals have developed this idea through time that what that means is that somehow they are invisibly pulling something to themselves as if they have lassoed it with a rope and are pulling it towards themselves. No, that isn't what happens. What happens when you are drawing something to yourself is that your energy projects out, seeks out, finds something, and then you put yourself in its path.
Right.
Place yourself in the position to encounter and to experience. But in that, a significant piece of it is what you are paying attention to. Therefore, what you notice. And in that, what you are paying attention to, that influences what you listen to in relation to your own communications with yourself, your own promptings, your own intuition, such as incorporating the idea after 3 years to suddenly have the motivation to be weeding. Which is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, not only did you have the unusual motivation, but you actually followed it.
That time, yeah.
Yes. That you may present to yourselves many expressions that are unusual and that you don't necessarily pay attention to. Actually, the fascinating aspect of that is, generally speaking, when you present some type of unusual motivation to yourself, that would be the time to very much pay attention to what you are presenting to yourself and what you are communicating to yourself, because generally that is an indication that you have presented something to yourself in relation to some intention that you have expressed repeatedly and you haven't been paying attention.
I feel like that's my next phase. Is getting more aware of that and quieter so that I can hear that and trust it.
I definitely agree. I would express an acknowledgement again of you, because I would say that you are moving, once again, very quickly, but in that you are assimilating tremendously, and therefore you are ready to move in that direction. This is a tremendous example, my friend. because what you are doing, and I express this genuinely and literally, is very similar to the directions, actions, and disciplines of monks in their directions of movement of becoming more self-aware and being intentional and being aware of what they are choosing, what they are doing, how they are expressing, and the discipline that they through in their process to do that. But they contribute a great example subjectively, because they are projecting that energy, and it is affecting of the collective, but it is a subjective expression. What you are doing is expressing in a very similar direction and movement, but in an objective manner and in a setting that is what you could describe as typical and ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
That you are occupying a role as a husband, a father, you occupy a home in a suburban neighborhood, you engage a lifestyle that is very common for many, many, many individuals. Therefore, in that, it is very relatable. And in that, it creates a tremendous significant example, because it is so objective, that other individuals can observe this example and can express to themselves, if you can accomplish this, they can accomplish this also.
Mm.
Because they see an individual that is like themselves, that isn't a monk in Tibet, that isn't Gandhi, that isn't an individual that appears to be exceptional in certain capacities, but then becomes exceptional in that example and in that being exceptional can be tremendously inspiring. It is not an accident or coincidence that so many individuals are drawn to pay attention to your conversations with myself, and therefore your example of what you have been engaging.
And that was my intention really from the beginning, I think, even if I didn't understand it.
And I do understand, and I would say to you that this is actually tremendous. And it is extraordinary because in this, what I would say to you is in these conversations, most of the people are paying more attention to what you are saying than what I am saying. That is extraordinary.
Thank you a lot. So wanted to just simplify things a little bit. And this is where one of the things I've been thinking about. And one of the I'll give you a quote or something that Isla likes to say, which is that the goal is not your goal is not an outcome. Your goal is to be comfortable and in your flow, kind of bringing you to this moment, right? And Lester would say, you know, the goal is to choose freedom in each moment. And, you know, who the heck knows what that means? I would say it's probably freedom from past associations, but it's not as clear. And so I was thinking of a way to put that that makes the most sense to me, but uses that same, is that same principle.
Oh.
And it would be really to be open and aware in each moment, right? Whatever's there, rest aware.
Ah.
And I was just thinking that that's a useful reminder to get out of that, the thought process, to get out of the goal seeking process. And to turn your energy, you know, you combine that with, let's say you move your association away from I don't have to I have, give yourself a reason to support that, and then move your energy into, you know, whatever's there, rest aware, as a way to be present, and then you'll start to move in desired direction.
I very much agree. I would express that is excellent, although I would express that statement, whatever is there, rest aware, might be somewhat confusing to some individuals. You understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would express that it is another statement that some or many individuals would likely express that they can't understand that until they are awakened, which this is another one of those metaphysical identifications or statements about being awakened, which most individuals don't even know what that means. And I would express that it is a statement that holds people in a direction of precisely what you are speaking about, that they aren't enough yet.
Because they can't do that, or they don't think they can do that.
Correct.
Yeah. And you get stuck on the concept, right, rather than the actual experience.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah, in my personal self, I recognize that any one of these, you can call them reminders or whatever, any one of them is not necessarily what's important. It's if you have a few different ones, they help provide the same information in a slightly different way so that you don't get stuck on the thought.
Most definitely. Most definitely. I would express that it is very much along the lines of affirmations and mantras.
Right.
Which can be exceptionally useful if you aren't putting most of your attention on them.
Right. The finger instead of the moon, as it's said in some
Precisely, precisely.
Okay, but that's a good way for me to simplify, I think.
I would definitely agree, and I very much acknowledge that, yes.
And it feels good, too. It's very relaxing.
And that is definitely an important piece.
Okay. All right, I wanted to ask a few different questions. What I wanted with the remaining time here, moving a little bit of a different direction, which is, you know, in the group session that you recently had, you talked about how the energy in the mass expression is similar to how it was before World War II. And I was hoping you could describe that, because I obviously wasn't around before World War II, so I'm curious, what is the similar piece?
Very well. Before that time framework, not simply immediately before, but through history before. Before that time framework, the general mindset, if you will, of people, of humans, was more so in a direction of a type of herd mentality. Now, I recognize that individuals don't like those words and that they generally find them insulting and that it is very similar to expressing the idea that people are very similar to sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't necessarily bad. It is and has been very purposeful throughout your history that people in general moved in a direction of being comfortable being part of the group, which also has carried over to a degree to your present time framework, in which there are more and more examples of people that are uncomfortable or feel displaced because they don't feel that they are part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even know what the group is. They simply identify the group as a general identification of the masses and expressing the perception that the masses are different from themselves. But in this, prior to your Second World War, this was a very natural state. There weren't many individuals that actually expressed within themselves or to other individuals that they interpreted concerns because they were different, because they didn't fit, because they weren't part of the group. Because there weren't that many people that expressed differently. There have always been some. And that some of different individuals for in individuals that definitely could not even force themselves to conform, to be a part of the group, those individuals generally motivated themselves to move in very different directions, which eventually, generally speaking, led to them being in positions of being inventors or explorers and emphasizing their difference, using their difference in a manner that propelled them forward and allowed them to move outside of the group with some degree of relative comfort. Not entirely, because most people aren't comfortable if they are outside of the group, even before your Second World War, but much less so than today. Now, in that, this group mentality, this expression of moving in the collective, actually wasn't what you would think of as a bad thing.
Okay.
And in that, people felt more comfortable and safe being part of the group, being part of the whole. And to a degree, people experience amongst themselves, not necessarily in the capacity that you are moving into now in relation to this shift, but in relation to each other and in relation to the collective and the group, people felt more interconnected. They experienced more of that principle of being interconnected. The difference in that is that they also, in focusing on that being so important, of being part of the group, were easily suggestible and were easily conquered. Controlled, in a manner of speaking, because control is always an illusion, but were easily able to be directed with little opposition.
The us versus them mentality?
Repeat?
The us versus them mentality?
Yes. Yes. But in that, not necessarily opposing the them.
Okay.
And viewing them as more powerful. The us being the majority, the us being the masses and the collective, but the us having less power than the them. But in that, this is the important piece, in that having a very different perception than you do now, that before your Second World War, or before the end of your Second World War, that perception was comfortable. It was accepted. It was comfortable. It was secure. It was safe. In most people's perception, which is also throughout your history, what led to situations of mass destruction.
Mm.
Because there was that perception that being part of the group, being part of the collective, and even being part of the collective that was less powerful than the them, it still was safe. And that the destructive element only occurred occasionally through history.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it still didn't threaten the safe aspect. Now, in that, remember, the emphasis of attention was not on the individual. The emphasis for generation after generation after generation, thousands of years, was more on the collective. What is good for the whole, not what is good for the individual. Always that idea of the sacrifice of the one to benefit the many.
Okay.
In that, very much in the direction of the collective is always the most important. That has changed in relation to this shift, which is one of the most significant pieces of this shift in consciousness, which is also one of the pieces that has created the most trauma. Because individuals don't know how to put the emphasis on the individual, to make the individual the most important. The individual has never been the most important. And now it is. And what is important to remember is that your perception now is what it is in relation to having more information. This is the reason that I have expressed even with each of you individually. You cannot generate a judgment and a comparison and an assessment of your own experiences past based on your perception now.
Right.
Because your perception and your awareness pastly was different than it is now. And in relation to looking at the whole of the collective people, the awareness, the self-awareness, pastly has been tremendously different than it is now. You look at yourselves now and you look at your world now, many of you, and you express, I don't see a difference. I don't see that people are so different now, but they very much are. Because the emphasis is on the individual, there is so much more individual awareness now than there has ever been in your history. And the emphasis has definitely shifted from that collective and from that mindset, so to speak, of being the herd or being the sheep and following in that comfortable, trusting direction. You aren't that anymore. Not individually, not collectively. You aren't that.
Right. Okay. Very interesting.
I would express to you, my dear friend, tremendous congratulations once again in what you have been accomplishing. I would also express to you, thank you for being this example and for sharing with other individuals to encourage them in their own directions also.
Thank you, Elias. Thank you very much.
Exceptionally welcome and definitely deserving. I would greatly express my anticipation of our next meeting and your accomplishment. I would express to you, my dear friend, an acknowledgement of being that straight little sap.
Thank you.
Tremendous love to you, my friend, and great, great supportiveness. Au revoir.
Goodbye, Elias.